Hey there, EJ listeners. Welcome back to our episode this Friday. Super excited it's Friday. Hope you guys have some fun plans. But today we're going to talk about business, and we're going to talk about if you are wanting to start a business, we encourage you to look into different franchise options. We think it's so important that you find something you're passionate about and really want to do, but also looking at a franchise can make things a lot more streamlined. You'll have a lot more support. It can be more affordable. And oftentimes the startup process can be a lot quicker and easier for you. So we're going to talk about some of the most commonly asked questions we get when we are talking to franchisees, talk about some of the pros and cons of franchises, and a little bit more. So enjoy the episode. And once again, and always, thank you for listening. And please feel free to write in with some topic requests if you have them.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the EJ. And as we often find, a couple weeks has slipped by in the world of us kicking butt, selling franchises, building franchises, and changing healthcare. It keeps us busy, but we're back now with a vengeance and a ton of topics we wanted to go over. So we decided today to talk a little bit about something maybe we know better than anything else. And I got two of the top franchise salespeople, I think, right now. I'd put them up against anybody, but we want to talk about that question. Like, if you are looking to open a business, why a franchise? Why not open your own place? Why pay a franchise the fees that they want? What are benefits? What are detriments? What should people be looking at? And I think that's a good topic because, and we'll stem from an article that I read, an Entrepreneur magazine, and they're all over the place. Just Google benefits of a franchise or success rate of a franchise. But I've seen as high as 90% success rate of franchise businesses and as low as 15% success rate of startup small businesses that are non-franchise, just your own thing. So that's a pretty big difference. And we hear all kinds of numbers about how high the failure rate is of small businesses. And we want you to realize you own your business with a franchise. It's your business. It's your baby. You're just not starting from scratch and doing everything yourself. I think that's a good spot to talk. You guys talk to people, probably 20 people a week on these exact questions, looking at franchises, looking at different franchises. And, I'll let you guys kind of dive in a bit. But what are you hearing from the people on the front lines, and why are they calling you to open a franchise?
I think one of the first things people misconstruing the word franchise, just when you say it, they get this negative attitude about it, or they're like, oh, a franchise, corporate, right? Mm-hmm. I always let doctors, for one, Chelsea, you can probably speak to this more, doctors for one, and then franchisees for the second, know you can still be you. You can still, like you said, Jason, own the business, but they're buying the systems that we run to make it successful. So they can still be their personality, their type of business owner that they want to be, but I think that's just a big misconception. People have such a negative connotation of franchises. And
it's not. Yeah, definitely. I agree with that completely. One thing that has been super cool, I think, I mean, we didn't even know that obviously this COVID stuff was going to happen, and we released our franchises out to non-doctor owners like right at the beginning of it. And I was kind of like, well, this will be a slow start just because everybody's kind of on hold with life and everything. But it's been super cool to see how many people, their careers took a small pause or ended or shifted. And they've all, like so many of them, have turned to franchises because it's such an easy way to own a business and have that without having to do all the legwork and create the systems and start from the ground up. And that's what we hear all the time, is people are like, yeah, we'll be explaining different steps of the process to these potential franchisees. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, we're just going to let you do that. You guys already know what you're doing. You've mastered it. Just tell us what we need to do to be a part of that. And so people love that. They don't have to start from the ground up.
Yeah. I think that you brought up two great points. And so I think that, one thing to realize is, you're not, most of the people you guys talk to, because I, my ears are on it pretty good. And a lot of them are already successful people.
Yes.
Right. They've already made money. They've already, some of them opened businesses, others work for, you know, Fortune 500 companies. There's architects and medical doctors and, you know, all kinds of people that they have a good amount of money. This is an investment for them. It's their ability to play business and to own a business and to dominate business without starting from scratch. The other thing is the chances, we just talked about the chances of opening a successful business. The chance of you opening multiple successful businesses in the next 5 years, I mean, we'd probably be down in, you know, 1 in 1,000 or something for your chances of opening 5 locations of the new business you start. These people, no, hardly anyone talks to you guys about one location. They're like, this is just one before I open 10. And then I would like to have the rights to New Jersey or Florida or, you know, what, Tampa or whatever. So these are people that they know business and they have chosen a route to make some income, because in the franchise world, man, we are so monitored and audited. Every year we have to do an audited third party financial. So you can see what a franchise is making. You can see what their overhead is. You can see the worst one, how bad they're doing, the best one, how good they're doing. Because what you'll always hear about in business is people want to tell you their top location or their best day or their best week ever. They don't ever tell you about their worst day, the worst location.
How long it took them to get there.
Yes. You know, so this is a chance for you to dive in. And if you know how to analyze those numbers, another show that's upcoming is using numbers to run your business. But then you can make a wise decision of not only should you open a franchise, but what franchise to open.
Mm-hmm. I had a doc from Georgia the other day. He's a very successful doc on his own, to kind of piggyback off what you were saying, Dr. J. And he just said, I know how to do chiropractic. I love it. It's like, I just don't want to do all the shit that it takes to get there. The build outs, the permits, the EIN number, all the stuff that you have to set up to even get the doors open. He's like, I've watched you guys and I'm so impressed with what you've done. Could I just open my next one with you? And I'm like, yeah. I was a bit surprised because I know the guy. He's already successful in his own right. But just is like, take that crap off my plate so I can just get another one rolling. That's a franchise. We do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and successful people, I mean, so one thing, because I know a lot of people that have been successful chiropractors like that, and plug in any profession there, that open another location, say location 2, when it's not you in charge of it, you start to get frustration. And people end up saying, I hated expanding because I all of a sudden my mortgage was dependent upon some person that didn't give a shit about the office making it. They just wanted their paycheck. So it provides you the systems to plug people in where you're not so dependent upon that new person that you hired, building a practice like you did, treating your customers like you did, you know, realizing the importance of what your vision is. And so there's a much more safety in expansion and your ability to achieve your financial dreams going through a franchise model than, say, trying to open up number 2, number 3, number 4 from scratch.
One thing Chelsea and I think we keep an eye on when we're having our discussions with these potential franchisees is their coachability, though. So that, like you said, they're very strong personalities. They're very successful people. They're determined. They're hard-headed sometimes, much of what it takes to be a great entrepreneur. But in the franchise model, if they won't follow these systems, follow these proven track records of things that we've laid out, we know that's going to be a challenge down the road. And there's lots of ways through communications and emails and stuff that Chelsea and I go through with them to figure out, are they going to listen to what we're saying? Mm-hmm. And you're right, Chelsea. Some of them many times are like, just tell me what to do. I'll do that. You tell me to do 3 backflips. We'll do it. They just want to follow the system. But other ones are like, well, what if I put into my clinic this and that, and it just doesn't work when that goes on. Mm-hmm. So something we try to keep an eye on and look out for. I don't know if we always get it right, but try to look.
Yeah. And I think on that same note, we always are trying to make sure it's a good fit both directions. So,
right.
You know, there's been franchisees who are ready to go and we were like, you're not a good fit for our company and we don't want to regret this decision. So we think you should, you know, look into other franchises that you might fit better into. We want people to be passionate about, you know, chiropractic. If they're going to open a chiropractic office, they can't hate natural health. Like they have to be, you know, a believer in what's going on. And so I think that's one of the first questions Dr. Brandon and I ask people when we're talking to them is like, what about 100% made you so interested? Like, obviously we're in your top 5 or we wouldn't be talking to you today. So why us? And so I think we get a lot from that question.
Yeah, it's much deeper than money. You're right. I mean, yeah. So you start to realize like, okay, I can make a great living with this location. And you know, we know that our numbers, we put them up against anybody. But then people have to realize, does it fit what they want? Another thing is some people want to go into a place every day and work and wear this logo. And, you know, and obviously when you're hiring a chiropractor that's going to run your office, you're not going to do that. You're not going to, unless you're a chiropractor. Right. So, but if you're not, you're not going to see patients. You're not going to interact with patients. You're probably not going to work at the front desk. So, you know, we call ours kind of a semi-absentee model in that when you open these locations, it takes a little work on the front end, but we expect that you'll just be making a profit and kind of monitoring your business from afar monthly, you know, versus some may give you the opportunity to work in there every day. You could open a Chick-fil-A and maybe you want to run the shift every single day. You can do that when you're making chicken sandwiches. Mm-hmm. So neither are right or wrong. It's just, what do you want? Are you looking for a retirement plan or are you looking for a new job? You know, and so many people, back to what you said earlier again, Chels, is franchise world is very busy right now. And the reason being is for whatever good or bad, people started to realize they want to be in control of their own destiny. So some people got laid off. Other people hate the career and don't want to be part of it right now. Other people lost their job or closed their business. And so there is no guarantee, even if you work for a big company. And so a lot of people are like, I don't want that. I want to know every day that my success is going to be based upon my ability to drive and build a practice. And, you know, good ownership is essential, even in the franchise world. That's why some of our offices are extraordinary and some are good. But there's a difference between good and extraordinary, and that's the ownership and management and day-to-day operations and implementation of systems. And so it's a matter of finding that right fit for that right person to achieve what they want to achieve. I mean, I think that you guys would agree and probably have some even examples of that.
Yeah, I think if you are considering opening a franchise, buying into a franchise, I think you should definitely pinpoint exactly what you want your role to be and then find franchises that fit that, because we did have one lady who loved everything about our company, but she couldn't justify herself being the office manager and she wanted to be all hands in. She wanted to be working in it daily. And so she decided to go back into her career before she started looking into franchises because she wanted to still work. She wasn't ready to just retire and sit back. And so I think that's a really important question to ask yourself if you're considering, you know, buying a franchise.
I think 90%, maybe all of them, of the conversations we've had, they've all asked Chelsea and I, what is the difference between your bottom performer, which is still damn solid in our profession, and your top one? Because they listened to everything we said. It was about the same size. They were in a nice metropolis. They had the same decor. Mm-hmm. So what was the difference? My answer was the systems. They follow those things to a T, to a higher level than most, just applying what we've learned over the years of obviously building these things, how to put those into action. And I don't want that to sound cliche. I always even feel weird saying it to the person, like it's the systems, but it's my straight up answer that it's not necessarily personality driven. It's not a certain demographic of people that they have. It's not that they picked the perfect shopping center to open in. All those things we look at, but it came back down to those systems that you were just mentioning, Dr. J.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, a lot of these people, you know, there are a lot of winners that are coming our way. You have to have some financial strength to even really get into any franchise, you know, because I mean, it takes some money or the ability to acquire some money to move forward with opening any business, you know. And so it's important that these people, you know, see them. We always ask, like, do you see yourself as a top 10%er, a top 25%? Do you think you could be in the top 50%? You know, are you, and no one thinks they're bottom 25%. No one that's going to go into a business thinks they're going to be in the bottom. So, you know, if they think they're going to achieve that level, then they are going to do extraordinary things and they want to compare themselves to these people that are the top of your business, whether they're the top Chick-fil-A, the top 100% chiropractic, the top Meineke muffler. These people see themselves as top 10, top 25%ers. And so, you know, when you ask those questions, then they can start to see what numbers are possible for them to drive into. And, you know, I think that one thing I would say is, this is like a behind the scenes tip if you're looking for it. Talk to the people that are struggling. so in our world that when we have consultants and stuff for franchises, they say, pick your A players that you want people to talk to, or have some B players. But what are you going to do if they call these people? And I can tell you, we're like, call anybody we have, call every franchisee, call the one that's, here's the number 52 ranked one. Here's the number one, right? They're all listed, all their numbers and all their names are listed on the webpage. Start picking and choosing. Mm-hmm. We have ones we think they would fit with. And so you guys send them to the right person, whether it's geographical or, you know, sometimes it's a woman running a business and she would enjoy talking to another woman that's kicking ass in business or whatever the fit may be. But any franchise that steers you towards certain people and tells you why not to call other people, huge red flag.
Yeah, for sure.
I would watch out for that.
People are actually always surprised about that too. Because so I have several email templates, like probably five different ones that I send out that have all different franchisees, current franchisees for them to reach out to. Like pretty much everyone is listed on there. And then I also send them at the bottom a link to our website to feel free to reach out to anyone you find on our website, which is everyone we have. And they're like, you don't want us to just call certain people? And we're like, no, we want you to call everyone. We want you to hear about the experiences that everyone's having, not just the people who got in and worked really hard and were successful fast. We want you to hear from everyone because obviously not everyone can be that way. So we want you to hear it all. And they do. They love talking to people that are new, people that have been around forever, you know, people in the middle. They love hearing from everyone. And I try to do that too, like newbies, some that have been around for maybe a year or two, and then ones that are more veteran, and they love it.
Happy veterans.
We want them to, I mean, they're going to go through all those levels. I mean, you're going to go from a newbie and be a middle performer and then hopefully a top performer someday in your business. But, you know, it benefits us to be very transparent. I don't want to rope someone in or talk someone into something that they don't want. And you could do that. You know, you could tell someone everything they want to hear on the front end, only to have a person that's disappointed. And then you know, you're off and running together in business with a person that doesn't want to be there. There's nothing worse than that. So we want to do our due diligence on the front end. And we've told several people, even as a growing company that's excited to grow, this isn't a fit for you. This isn't you, right? You should go, you know, you want the most proven you want a McDonald's. Because you want something that's so proven over time. McDonald's has been proven since the 50s. It's exactly what you want. You know, we're a younger upcoming with incredible numbers, but we don't have a 5-decade long track record. So for some people, again, it goes back to what you want. And that's important for people to realize that.
So let me throw this out. Let me play devil's advocate for the people that are listening and still going, yeah, but the franchise, you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do that. So I'll throw some general franchise terms out and then you guys tell me what you think about them. So usually in a franchise, you have to pay a royalty fee, right?
Yep.
So what do I get for my royalty fee? Why do I got to pay that fee? That seems like a waste of money to me if I'm going to, I might as well just open my own.
Chelsea, you want to go first or you want me to?
Go for it. I can tell you're excited.
Well, yeah, because I mean, this is us justifying what we do for people. So, I mean, right. The reason you pay a royalty fee goes back to those numbers of 90% success rate versus 15%. Right. So it's your, nothing's guaranteed, but it's your higher level guarantee, I guess, if you will, or at least opportunity or chances to succeed in business. You're paying a small amount to make a greater amount of money. For that, you get systems, daily help. You know, we have a whole team of people that help people through every step, whether it's hiring or firing or marketing. Or, you know, build out or negotiation of lease or renegotiate. Like it's endless. The things that people are like, I don't know how to do all that stuff. Great. We do. We're experts in that. And if we're not experts, we hire people that are experts, i.e. our legal team or our real estate development team. You know, so you're paying that fee for that ability to have that access. It's like a team of 50 opening your practice instead of your team of 2 or 3 opening your practice. The other thing that is often overlooked, I think, is your ability to tap into the savings that we get as a group. So we buy things at such a bulk level. Most people, because our franchisees can leave once they get done with their commitment. Virtually no one does because they realize the fee that I'm paying, and for us, it's $2,500 a month. We're not even a percentage-based one. We're a set fee. And the reason we do that is because our people achieve such high numbers. We want to make sure that they're paying a fair amount. But for $2,500 a month, they're saving over $2,500 a month just in their orders and things that they do, not to mention the help and things that they get. And in addition to that, we have an entrepreneurial program where people expand. Brandon, you know, leads the pack with that, and, you know, and 7, 8, 9, 10 locations he's been part of. We have other up and comers that are 2, 3 years into practice that are opening their 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th practice. That doesn't happen very commonly in the real world. So what do you get for that 2,500 or percentage fee, 7% for some people and things like that? You get the systems and the roadmap to be successful, save money, and the ability to expand to achieve your goals. That, I think, is what is comes with that.
Okay, yeah. I'll pay my $2,500. All right. I also had like a really cool name. My last name's Livingit, so I wanted to have Livingit Chiropractic, and I wanted to design it, and I want to have this colored logo.
You must have made your name up. You made that name up, didn't you?
I went to the DMV to get it changed. Brandon Johns. What about that? When they're like, I want to do this color. And I said that coming out of school. Cause it was my name. I remember that. I had a little jingle that I was going to use. And all of a sudden I'm like, if I do 100%, that wasn't it.
Adjusted if you would.
Definitely not it. What about all these people with my color, my logo? I want to design my clinic. They may even have some good ideas, but they're like, if I go with a franchise, I can't do anything original. I have to go with the clear set thing by the franchise. And what do you say to that?
I think that we've given people quite a bit of flexibility when it comes to not the name, of course, the 100% chiropractic, but we work hard to brand that across the country and across the company. People see it, they know it, they trust it. But with the design of our offices, you know, there's several different palettes that people can choose from depending on where they're at in the country or what they, you know, like, what's pleasing to them. And then, you know, we even have like the canvases that hang in our offices. You can customize those. There's so much freedom when it comes to that kind of stuff, but keeping it all uniform within what our company looks like across the board. So, I mean, I think, yes, we want it to look a certain way, but that's because we don't want to have a bunch of random stuff in there making it look cluttered and walk into a mom and pop chiropractic shop and then walk into one of ours and it's a completely different feel.
Completely, but they all differ a little bit. Like they all have different music.
Yeah.
Right? That kind of fits the mold. Some people have a different vibe of their practice completely. So Is the artwork the same? Yep. Decor looks similar. Yep. You know, it does. But that being said, we give them as much flexibility as we can for them to have their own personality print on it. To answer that question, what I would honestly say is maybe you should open your own business then. If someone said, I've got to call this Smith Chiropractic, I love it, I have a jingle, I really love blue and pink, and that's my color decor, and my marketing program is this, and I've got to be number one, I've got to be the person. Great, then you probably should open your own spot. You wouldn't be a good franchisee. So, you know, you need to know there's risks with that. Now, there's benefits. You know, you make every decision, you go in. You know, if it goes nuts, then you can claim like, I knew it, I should have done this. I'm the best person to ever enter the field of making hamburgers. Great, you do, you're right. But you also take all of the risks, all the financial risks, all of the burden. And we do know that majority, 60, 70% of small businesses go out of business. So you may be in that 20, 30%. You may be in that 1 to 5% that just thrives, but you just may be in that 95% that doesn't. And if that's a risk you're worth that you want to take, take it. Do it, right? If it's one you don't want to take and you can let go of the jingle and maybe look at beautiful palettes that have been designed by designers and people like that, give it a chance. But the main thing is have the conversations. Talk to Brandon and Chelsea or Brandon and Chelsea's version of any franchise in the world and just say, what do you got? You know, what do you guys have to offer? Let me see. What's that look like? What's that cost? Do your due diligence, study the numbers, and then have a big conversation with yourself and everyone that's important to you of where do I need to go? And you know, it's just like anything in life. It's you weigh the risk, you weigh the benefits, and you make the best decision for yourself.
So far, we haven't heard any complaints of how nice our offices look either. It's usually, I know with one of our recent franchisees, it was super hard for her to pick because she liked three of them like all the same, like so much. she was like, I could see this one or this one or this one, but you know, it's just,
I mean, just good. Like if you drove down Main Street of whatever town you're listening in, it's franchise after franchise after franchise on the side of it. Now there's small boutiques here and there and things like that. But for the most part, you're going to pass things like, you know, 100% chiropractic, Massage Envy, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Subway, Meineke. Like it's endless. If you start to notice it, these are all franchises that have individual owners that are in business living their dream, right? Whether they're selling yogurt, adjusting spines, or cleaning teeth, these are people that have bought into a system. They own the business. They reap all of the financial rewards of having a successful practice or business, but they've chosen to go a route that's going to allow them the ability to be a little safer with their money and have an investment they feel more protected with. Banks like franchises. Banks don't give a shit about anything except for safety of money. They'll loan franchises money. They never loan people small business starting up with no money, anything. Landlords love franchises. They want a Chipotle. They want a Starbucks, right? They want those businesses coming in for the sole reason they pay rent, right? Okay. They'll pay a good amount to get those people in their center because they pay rent. Other people go out. So, I mean, just look at some of the stats. Don't listen to me as a franchisor. Listen to people that make decisions based upon success or not success, landlords, banks, et cetera. And you'll see that franchising is a really good route for you to consider to be successful.
I gave dumb examples like that of the name and the stuff because I literally, that was my mindset coming in. Jason, you remember this. Mm-hmm. Because I had this in my head of what I wanted to do. For my whole school of chiropractic, I was in boring classes, planning out my business plan and my logo and thinking it all through. And then realized like, holy crap, I'm not really good at that stuff. And how many living good chiropractics can I open down the road? Who's going to want to run those? And, right. And someone else designing a logo, like you said, an interior designer creating my, let them do that shit. I need to focus on my patients, my team, growing my clinic, and I can't wear all those hats. So again, the franchise world takes a lot of that out of play, makes it look beautiful, sound beautiful, act beautiful. All I got to do is run it. And I quickly learned that anyway, of like, all right, I'll let Living Good Chiropractic go by the wayside for now because I can do so much more.
And I got to tell you, like when Vanessa and I got rolling on this, it was never, let's open a franchise. Like that was, I think all good businesses kind of evolved and we never opened day one saying we're going to own a chiropractic franchise. Right. And I got to tell you, if I knew now, what, 15 years ago, like, I don't know if I'd still go through it. Like, right. I mean, it's our franchise documents. I'm probably $400,000 in on these things right now. Attorney fees are massive just because there's document after contract, after rule, after regulation. And so it's great, but you're also paying for people that have gone through that, right? You're paying for people that do all the legality and all that stuff that they do behind the scenes so you don't have to. And so, you know, it's not an easy thing to open a franchise. In fact, it's hard as hell. Now, we're reaping the benefits of being very successful right now, and we're very excited. We're very successful in what we do because of the people we've partnered with, like Brandon and Rebecca from day one, you know, like Chelsea from a decade ago, like a countless list of other doctors, CAs, therapists, but also private investors, you know, people that have supported our vision. And so it took a group, and Vanessa and I are the first ones to admit, like, this is a team effort. And, you know, we all own a part of this company because we've all built it with our sweat equity. And so, you know, when you jump into something, there's a lot of work that's gone in behind the scenes. You're not just jumping into some guy that could actually do it or had the money to actually throw a logo and call himself a franchise. That person's gone through hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars and different things like that to get where they are. And you're buying into that protection and that work that's been done. So why recreate when you could tap into that, own six or seven of these, and you're still the person. When people walk into that practice, you're still number one. You're still the person that owns that practice. Or they don't even know who I am. It's not like we're jumping in, or you know, they don't know Brandon in Rancho Santa Fe, California at the Tampa office. They know Dr. Pedro, right? He's the owner. He's the operator. So, you know, I think if you look at it a different way, it's just a better route to move forward and achieve your dreams, unless your dream is to own a small mom and pop shop that you go in and make every decision. Then that's great. The good news is you can do that. And, it, you know, franchising is for a lot. It's not for everybody.
I think too, what's really cool about franchises is that we're talking mostly about our company right now, which is amazing. And if you're going to franchise, you might as well do it with 100%. But there's so many different types of there's so many different types of franchises that you can get into, so many different models, almost for any amount of money too. Like you can start all the way down at like 5 to 10,000 and it be a, you know, on the go type of a business, or all the way up to doing a McDonald's, which I think is a lot, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But there's so many different like business types. So you can definitely find something that you like, that you're passionate about, or that's just super easy and allows you to be absentee and making money. So I think researching the different kinds for anyone who's looking into it is definitely important, because you can find anything out there, really.
I think speed too. Speed's another thing that, exactly what Chelsea just said, but how quickly you can do this. I've watched other colleagues of mine that have built great practices, and it's just like, okay, wow, where do they go from there? To open number two, it's just like they don't even know where to start. It would take them years. Where we can open 18 of them by the end of this year, we're on track to do that. So it's like, wow, you can really speed things up with that process.
And not only that, most of those people that open number two can't wait to get rid of number two and just get back to their number one that made them real successful. So it starts and gets tough. Chelsea, good point. Like, I mean, franchising, you're right. You could, and I don't know this for a fact, so don't quote me on this, but I mean, you could own
a budget, quote.
You could own a budget blind probably next week, right? And you're the person, and you have the truck, and you drive to houses, and you're the business person, you know, and that's probably way more economical than most, because you're not building a building and you don't have a retail facility and things like that. So there's franchise ability for you to jump in at a much lower amount. And for whatever you love, like if you're a teacher, you can do one of those mathnasiums or something, you know, and if you're a workout fanatic, do a CrossFit, do a 24 hour fitness, do something like that. So wherever your love and passion is, there's something for that. And, you know, you can find out very easily by just going to their webpage, usually on the tab, it'll say franchise, and you can get in touch with the people and start asking questions. You'll get what's called an FDD, right? The franchise disclosure document. It's a book, you know, it's 200 to 500 pages of information that legality wise, they have to disclose everything, but it's everything you'll need to know. What's every fee I can be charged? What's every penalty I can be charged? What's my success rate? What happens if I fail? What happens if a COVID hits? You know, all this stuff. So you start to pour through that with your attorney, and then you start to look at the numbers. Item 19, right, is where you want to look for the financial performance numbers of a franchise. And that's another red flag. If people aren't giving you financial performance, I would say why, but most people do. Look at those numbers, study them, and start to see, boom, this is where I want to be. But, you know, I think we've hit it pretty hard. I mean, you know, I think that people start to understand what we're talking about. We're obviously biased because we see it working. We see young docs coming out, crushing it. We see people that are not docs coming out that are going to crush it. And so we're super excited for these people and everything they're going to achieve. And yeah, I mean, we're real proud of what we've built. But take home points on people that are deciding franchise or not, or I'll allow you the opportunity to say why 100% franchise or not.
My one take home point is just being open to the word. I say it and sometimes people still just shut down. Like franchise, they have this negative connotation, and I just wish and hope that they hear some of the things we shared this morning, because it opened my eyes a lot many years ago. And I hope to do the same with doctors and new franchisees we discuss this with, because it's a path to set you on a really fast track to success.
Yep.
Sure. Yeah. So one thing that we didn't talk a ton on about when we were going through some of the different points of a franchise is the training that we provide. So support systems and training to me are like the most important parts of a business in general. And I know just over the last 10 years, 9 years that I've been a part of 100%, I've just seen it get so much better. And even Dr. Brandon and I, as we started in, what was it, March, when we started talking to non-doctor owners or non-doctor franchisees, like they once they meet us and then they start meeting more of the team, like you just see the trust being built, and it's so cool to see the partnerships. And after like 2 weeks of conversations, they're going from talking about one location to like five. So it's exciting. I think everybody should definitely look into franchising if they want to own a business of some sort.
Yeah. And there's several great companies. If you know exactly where you want to go, then just then go to that place. But I mean, if you're like, I kind of am interested, like we work with a company called FranNet. Mm-hmm. Like they'll set you up with a local rep. They'll take you through 50 different franchises. They'll ask you question after question. They'll dial in what's great for you. and then put you in contact with that person. So if you're like, I have no idea, gym, muffler place, cleaning company, you know, then that's a great place to start. If you're like, I want to open one of these two franchises, then just go right to the franchise and kind of say, hey, we're ready to get rolling. So I like Brandon would just say, just look at it. And, you know, you owe it to yourself.
Yeah, look at it.
Just take a look at it. And there's a chance that you'll fall in love with it and think, oh, man, this is exactly what I want. There's also a chance you'll be like, nope, I knew I didn't want it and I don't want it. Great. Then great. Best of luck to you. And I hope you absolutely crush it in your idea of, you know, how to recreate a widget at a better way. But, you know, I think it's franchising is a very safe thing right now. And it's a very good investment and a very good way to stay in business and grow your empire without starting from scratch. And so take a look at it. But great to get together with everybody here. And we will try to continue to find this time to do this weekly, but certainly be back with you in the next 4 weeks or so, at least every month or so we get together and talk about how to expand your business reach and your business empire and make that money. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Later.
Peace. Yeah.